The Fan on Demand.
Well, speaking of priceless, Doug, you can't put a price on this show. Hockey Central at noon. Gord Stellick in for Darren Millard, of course.
It's like the Canadian dollar is falling like a rock.
Well, you're one of the guys.
You got to spruce it up, man. Kiprios told me yesterday he's not happy. He thinks that since he's not here, it's not the same. So we got to spruce it up a little.
Oh, this is coming from
This is coming from the franchise.
Yeah, I think we can confirm it's definitely not
the same. Yeah, the Ronnie Howard of creativity and sports talk radio. Of course, Gord Stellick in for Darren Millard. He's at the Memorial Cup. Of course, the MasterCard Memorial Cup. Scott Morrison, Doug McLean, we are on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. We are also on Sportsnet TV and The Fan 960 in Calgary. So big hour to talk about what's going on around the National Hockey League. How about that? Nathan MacKinnon will join us in 40 minutes' time.
Wow.
One of the big stories, the big players, the top-ranked players in this year's draft.
We'll Another talk Maritimer to the, taking over the hockey world.
The
it's
Halifax
great to see
Mooseheads.
They just keep producing hockey people down east.
That's it. And John Garrett will also join us.
Not so much Garrett.
Yeah, I know. Don't know what to say. Well, it was a good balance. When you get MacKinnon, that was a good day to slide Garrett in. Of course, he'll talk. He joined us yesterday talking about Alain Vigneault being fired, and we'll chat about that. And maybe spruce things up. How about the New York Rangers, Boston Bruins game? We got so many interesting things. We got Alfredson from last night, but apparently a healthy scratch tonight. Brad Richards. We wonder where that's going to go. Is this John Tortorella just giving a bleep you, as he would say, to the player and whatever it may be?
You know what? 7 years left at $37 million. I guess, is he the reason they're losing this series?
If you're sitting a guy out, you would think he's a part of it.
You would think he's a part of it. And I'm so mixed up here as to what's really happened to this player this year. I mean, I've watched him skate. People say, well, he's lost a step. I've watched him skate this year. I've watched him skate since he was 10. He hasn't lost a step. He's the same skater he was 2 years ago, which is an average skater in the NHL at best. For whatever reason, whatever's happened to him, is it in his head? Is it confidence? Is it whatever? But what is the value of sitting out Brad Richards tonight? What's the value of that?
Well, to pin it on him, just like you said. Carl Hagelin stinks on the power play. Obviously, the coach is saying, this is a big reason we're losing. Our chances are better than the guy we lined outside of Newport Sports office on a hot July day while Wayne Gretzky and Nash and everybody was selling him to come to L.A. while the Toronto Maple Leafs were selling him. And I would think John Tortorella was a big part in selling him come to the Big Apple.
But anyway, for whatever reason, Brad is a scratch. He's owed $37 million with 7 years left on his deal. They've already paid him $24, $25 million of it up front, front loaded. He's a proud guy. Somebody asked me about the other day, is he didn't work hard enough? Is his conditioning? He's one of the best conditioned guys I know. He's been a fitness freak for a long time. I'm not trying to protect him here. I wish I really knew what's gone on there to figure this out, because Nash went to New York because one of the reasons he wanted to go to New York was to play with Brad Richards.
Right.
They've hardly played together. Obviously, it didn't work. I'm not a Tortorella fan, as you can pretty well tell.
I
understand he won a Stanley Cup in Tampa Bay. I watched Tampa Bay every day for 7 months, 2 years after they won the Stanley Cup. They're one of the worst teams in the NHL and one of the worst coach teams in the NHL, the way they played the game. I don't know how they ever won the Stanley Cup. But anyway, he, to me, has done a poor coaching job. I'm not a fan of his. It may work tonight. It may work, and they go 3-1 and they lose in 5. That may happen. So we'll see. I just, a guy that, you know what? When you win a cup, what's that great saying? You walk together forever?
I never experienced it.
Fred Shiro said that.
I guess,
if we win tonight, yeah, we'll walk together forever.
Now it's we party.
Now it's we part. Now we scratch you. You know what? I know, look.
Or Nick Kiprios said, we'll milk it forever.
I'm not trying to, exactly. We'll milk it. But I'm not trying to back up Brad here. This is a confusing situation to me. And
okay.
Well, at the end of the day,
where does it go from here?
Yeah, Scott, because Doug needs therapy about this. So this is good.
Yeah,
so, well, God, you can help him.
But at the end of the day, why do you embarrass a player of that magnitude? It's one thing. He's already playing on the fourth line, playing how many minutes a game?
9 minutes, seven minutes.
So would you, and it's an elimination game, would you not want to have that presence around? I mean, he is still somewhat of a leader. He's a guy who has come up big in big games. He's a guy who could still maybe help that horrible power play, or, you know, a guy you can throw on there as well. And just knowing that you're locked to him for that many years, why do you create that controversy and throw him and make him the poster boy, it seems, for what is ailing? And that maybe that's just lining up your ducks to say, here's my excuses, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, he, to me, goes to the head of the compliance buyout list, right? Seriously, because
been floated in New York this year.
What else can you do? Mm-hmm. Seriously. I mean, Roberto Luongo, at least they got to figure out their goaltending situation.
I guess the situation is with the compliance buyout is if you don't mind your cap being $1.5 million to $1.6 million below the cap every year for the next 15 years. So in other words, you're $1.5 million below the cap. You're a good player below the cap for the next 15 years. And I know the cap will rise, and I know...
But you said the compliance buyout, he doesn't affect the cap,
no,
correct?
It does. It affects it.
I thought the compliance buyout, it didn't count against the cap.
Oh, this is the last summer they have.
Yeah, I'm just saying you get your one swing at it, and it almost sounds like they're doing that for
you. Yeah, exactly. You're right. Yeah, I was confused with the regular buyout.
Well, you're under stress. You've seen the guy since he's 10 years old.
And the situation is, right now, is where do they, you know, if they don't, where is this next year with Brad and Tortorella?
Let me ask you, being a general manager, okay, you're Glenn Sather, and I know you always want the coach to select what players are on the ice, but your guy comes and say doing the same thing to Rick Nash. Well, Nash was never, he never was struggling like that, but what would you think as a GM that you went to all this effort to land him and the coach is basically saying, we've decided he's a piece of crap?
Well, you know what? I guarantee you there's been a ton of conversation between Sather and Tortorella, or at least I would certainly hope there was. I mean, I got to believe there was. I don't know how much Glenn is you know, in Torts' face or dealing with Torts on a regular basis. I got to believe it's often. But this is a guy that Sather brought to New York at Tortorella's urging and put out $60 million. Now, somebody said to me last night that has a history with New York that it's only money. It's not that big a deal with the Rangers. But, where does it head when you come back next year with Tortorella? If they don't, if he's back, Brad, and you know he can't be traded with the deal he's got, mm-hmm. Where does it go with Tortorella and him moving forward? When you've essentially taken a guy that is your top player, one of your top players, supposed to be one of your leaders, and you make him a healthy scratch in the biggest game and the most desperate game of the year. Does that ever work going forward?
You've devalued him, Scott, right? You've done it.
Yeah, I mean, you've just eliminated. There's no question about that. And I guess one of the questions is, before you agree that the compliance buyout comes into play, is I guess you have to assess the future of the coach. If this is a hasty retreat in these playoffs, what's his future?
Well,
I mean, it's one of many questions teams have to ask at the end of the season.
I asked somebody that last night. They said, well, he's gone to the second round the last couple of years. You know, this team has not made the playoffs very often. If it wasn't for Lundqvist, would they ever make the playoffs? And I think Slats, his first 7 years where they didn't make the mm-hmm. playoffs when Slats came, Glenn Sather came. He's got them to the playoffs. They've gone to the second round the last couple of years. Is that grounds for firing? I don't know. I mean, it just, how does it work going forward? And, you know, it's like Kreider. Kreider comes up last year and had an outstanding playoff with him. He looked like he had a chance to be a player with his speed and his hands, much heralded guy that looked like he could fit in. And all of a sudden, he spent the whole year in the minors. Torts got on in a training camp. It was almost day one of training camp that he wasn't going to be a part of the group, and he was going to the minors to pay a price. The guy can hardly play right now when I watch him.
Let's move. We'll get John Garrett in a few minutes' time, but it's interesting. We talk about the coaching decision for tonight's game last night, and, you know, Doug, you pointed out the work of Matt Cook, and it was all the other guys, James Neal. I mean, the Pittsburgh Penguins showed their power. You can dissect the game, but as Paul McLean said, it doesn't take too long. Here's the statistics. That's what says the story. Daniel Alfredson, what do you make of... Is he playing possum that, okay, we're going to get them overconfident by his remarks after the game last night, or is this a classy way to exit, or is this just throwing up the white flag, which is a bad indicator?
No, I think it was a frustration comment. I don't think, you know, I guess with Alfredson, you'd say, is there a better guy that's led a young team and a guy that's been loyal? You mentioned that earlier throughout the whole franchise. I give him a pass on it. I give him a pass on frustration. I suspect he regrets saying it because of the message it sends to his teammates. That's the only thing I would be worried about if I was him and the fans, but it's a blip on his resume that's almost impeccable and what he's done for the franchise. So to me, it's a nothing comment that, you know what, if some guy said it, it would bother you. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like if Sean Avery said it when he was with the Rangers, it'd be different. I guess you say I give he and McLean a pass on what they did last night. I don't like Paul doing it, but I should have done it when I coached a few times instead of standing up there and getting into arguments with people, mm-hmm. you know? And so Paul was ticked off. He sent the message. Alfie was frustrated. And he also watched Letang have an unbelievable game, and Crosby and Malkin and Aginla and Neil and all the big boys.
Cook.
And all the big boys have their best games of the series. And then Cook, takes the penalty on Gonchar. Then he makes the blocks a shot on the other goal. He watched the Penguins at their best last night.
Well, Elfie heard Nick, Doug, and Don Cherry say it in the Leaf series, so he's just weighing in, getting equal timing on the three wins. But
exactly.
You know what? I didn't take it as a waving of the flag. I think it's a guy who is despondent.
Yeah.
Staring down in the back of his mind that it may be his last game in Ottawa, knowing that the end is near, and knowing how close they've been in this series at times, although it could have been a sweep if not for those 29 seconds. And I think, you know, he's just being honest to say, I'm not giving up. But yeah, to win three games in a row against that team,
and
that's a tall order.
And they were
not saying we're not going to try.
Yeah.
And they were god awful. I mean, the first period, if it's not for Anderson standing on its head, mm-hmm. you know, and Vakun kicking rebounds right back to the slot to give them a second and third chance, they're not even in the game after the first, in my opinion. I thought they were not very good. Their back checking was horrendous on tap in goals. I mean, Anderson gets pulled. Was he at his best? Probably not in the second and third, but he had no help. I mean, how many tap in goals? How many times did we see Mikhailik standing with a guy, Gonchar standing with a guy, Greening missing the back check, or Condra, I can't tell them apart some nights, missing their back check. I mean, Carlson getting caught on a pinch and then laying on the ice for a 2-1-0 breakaway. I mean, come on. It was a horrendous performance by that team last night. And if it's not for Anderson, it's not even it was a blowout anyway. But, I mean, I think Alfie and the team should be embarrassed at how they stood up for Anderson, who's carried them. And yet, they're one of the most character teams in the league. And it won't surprise me. They'll come into Pitt and they'll play their tails off. And who knows what can happen, because that's what they've done all year. But mm-hmm. last night was a horrendous performance. And Paul summed it up better than any of us. There's the score sheet. It was a god-awful game is what he was saying.
I liked his press conference. Only because there wasn't an arrogance to it. It wasn't an anger at
and you can only do it so
media,
often. You got to pick your
exactly.
spots,
it's
right?
It's like, hey, the story's right there. He also, well, I can sit here and tell you, boom, 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 but we're going to go to Pittsburgh. We're going to give it an effort. And I thought it was a nice change.
He said,
refreshing.
We're going to show up.
Yeah.
In other words, we didn't show up tonight. Mm-hmm. That's what he was saying. And, you know, Paul, look, everybody with the Ottawa Senators have handled themselves amazingly well.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
All year, every day, tough times. I watched Paul McLean, Brian Murray, when they lost five in a row and they weren't going to make the playoffs. They regrouped. The team battled through it. Big performances. I'm giving them they've done too much for anybody to be too critical of them.
Well, we'll see. They will show up. That's what they say they'll do in Pittsburgh. We've got three games to talk about tonight. John Garrett will join us next. And, of course, we'll chat about what happened in Vancouver yesterday. Later on, Nathan MacKinnon from the Halifax Mooseheads will also be joining us. You're listening to Hockey Central at noon. Gord Stellick, Scott Morrison, Doug McLean on Sportsnet, the Fan 590, and the Fan 960 in Calgary, and watching on Sportsnet.
Now more Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590, the Fan.
Welcome you back. The second period, Hockey Central at noon. Gord Stellick, Scott Morrison, Doug McLean with you. Of course, on Sportsnet, the Fan 590. The Fan 960 in Calgary and on Sportsnet. And a reminder, in about 7 minutes' time, we'll be on Sportsnet 1. Sportsnet will go to Major League Baseball action, so just keeping you posted on that, because you will want to see, of course, the picture, even though it's just a picture of John Garrett. You know, you need the visual of that. He's joining us, of course, from Sportsnet. Want to talk a bit about the Stanley Cup playoff series. We got three of them going on this evening, but he was hustled into duty yesterday as the Vancouver Canucks clean house with their coaching staff, and John joins us this afternoon. How you doing, John?
I'm good, and I came back to Toronto in my one day off out of the entire time that I'm in Toronto. The Canucks decided they finally will fire the coach. It was just, and there I am sitting in Trenton, visiting, and getting all these calls to do stuff.
It just shows how much influence you have.
So are you telling Scott Morrison you need another day off, or what's the point?
No.
Well, the first question about, and I know you're answering all these for second, third, fourth time, but again, you talked about it before that you felt this was going to happen. We always get a little puzzled about why it took not an eternity, but, you know, if you're going to make up your minds, quite often do it a day or two after. Why didn't that happen?
I really don't know, because it was a foregone conclusion in most of the people around the team that it was time for Alain Vigneault, even though his record is incredible. It's the best in franchise history, and 150 games over 500, and all the regular season numbers that Alain was able to put up the last 2 years in the playoffs with the expectations that the Canucks had just weren't good enough. And I think that I know myself, being around the team as closely as I've been around the team, it was almost to the point where complacency breeds contempt, where the key players on the team were complacent with the coach and the coach with the players. He expected them to do things, and they in turn were almost guessing what Ellen's reaction would be to certain situations. And I don't think that's a healthy situation. I think that you, no matter what, have to, as a coach, have the ability to get the team to raise their level. And it doesn't have to be a whole lot, but you get into the playoffs, you have to be able to get your team to perform just that much better, so that the other teams who finish eighth and all of a sudden are, oh, we're so glad we're in the playoffs, now we can get going. Even though you finish higher, you're a higher seed, you have to be able to raise your level too, because there's so much parity in the league, and the way the game is being called, it does get down to that extra effort, and the talent levels even get closer and closer because the way the game's being called. So you have to be able to do that, and the Canucks in the last 2 years weren't able to do that. And it did surprise me that it took so long, and especially when you know that the Canucks are going to take their time before they hire the new coach.
I don't have a problem with the coaching change, and I think John summed up everything there is to say about it. He's a good coach. He's done a great job in the regular season and a pretty good job in the playoffs. He got to the finals. That's pretty impressive. You get to the seventh game of the Stanley Cup Finals. So I don't think there's any suggestion that he's not a good coach. I think it's a situation of a cultural change is desperately needed with this hockey team. The second thing is, what's the next round of evaluations with this organization? I mean, Mike Gillis came in as a relatively, well, not relatively, an inexperienced general manager. Never was a general manager in his life. He was an agent. And, you know, I dealt with him on some contracts. Good agent. I happen to like the guy. But he's got to step back, John, and say, who's recommending these player transactions that I've made since I've taken over here? I mean, you start with Booth, LaPierre, Roy, Ballard, Garrison, Cassian. You go on and on. I looked at the 30 or 40 transactions that have been made since he took over. Somebody recommends an inexperienced GM to make these moves, and somebody's recommending contract situations with him as well. Where does this evaluation go? Or is it strictly just getting rid of Booth on a buyout, Ballard on a buyout, letting Raymond go, letting LaPerriere go? You know, is that what it is? Letting Roy go?
Yeah, I think there's a number of those that are easy. I think there are a couple of buyouts and the UFAs.
What about the player? What about management first? What about Mike?
Well, I think they're going to look at management, and I think the scouting department. You look at Detroit and Nyquist and Brunner and those guys who all of us. They always work out, and then you look at the Canucks in their last 5 years. How many guys have turned into NHL players, and
or the trades?
The scouting record's not very good, and. You know, you have the excuse that you've been that high that you never get a top 10 pick, but the other teams always seem to manage that some third and fourth round guys. I guess Yannick Hansen would be their only claim to fame of a low pick that's worked out. But I think they're going to look at that. But Doug, don't you think that this is the management can use the point that this team has won five division titles. This team has averaged 104 points for the last 5 years.
Totally.
And they back-to-back President's Trophy. So I'm sure the management it can say, okay, well, look at our regular season performance. This is still a pretty good team. And you do have the Sedins, and you have Ryan Kessler, and you have Alex Burrows, and you have some guys, but is Alex Edler all that he was cracked up to be when they let Sammy Salo go? And
or Ehrhoff.
Ehrhoff. Is Jason Garrison going to be as good as they thought when they were able to sign him as a free agent? I think that the 48-game season, they use that as an excuse. To a certain degree, it is part of it because they are an elite team, we're an elite team, and I think that the management can use that. But Mike Gillis, you wouldn't believe the heat he's getting now in Vancouver. All the talk shows and all the newspapers are now. You get to fire one coach, Doug. You know what it's like. You've done that. How many coaches did you fire? At Dave King and people like that. They're one of the nicest guys ever. You fired Dave King, Dave did a pretty good job in Columbus. And yet, when you do that as a general manager. But, Doug, you always put yourself behind the bench. You put yourself right there.
I had no choice. I was told to go behind.
Hey, just one quick thing. Want to let people know that programming note will be on Sportsnet 1 at 12:30, just so you know, in 10 seconds.
And everything John is saying is accurate. They are a pretty good team, and they can hang their hat on that. The challenge is going forward. They've got some monumental decisions to make because they are in as bad a shape as anybody in the league when it comes to their cap. Now, I know they can fix that with Booth, Ballard, and Luongo. I think it can be cleaned up pretty quickly, but there's lots of daunting tasks facing this group. And the scouting, I understand late picks, but the trades and unrestricted free agent signings, you can't tell me that they've really turned out very well. Hamhuis, is he the best of the group in the last 5 years?
Well, Hamhuis or Bieksa.
Bieksa wasn't unrestricted. He was there before. I traded.
He was
there with Nonis.
I'd say Hamhuis right now, but Garrison has the potential.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that, again, Alain, and in the shortened season, you couldn't experiment for the first 20 games. That would have been half the year gone. So they didn't really have that time to get their power play centered around Jason Garrison. And Newell Brown, who was also let go yesterday, he didn't have the luxury as the power play guy to have the time to do things like that. Doug, you talked about, okay, you buy these guys out and then Roberto Luongo, but that's going to cost the owner money.
Oh, and they don't like
no
that.
No owner likes that.
No, they hate
a bit
it.
Of money.
So then... Just a FYI, all the teams played 48 games this year.
Yes. Oh, I know.
Not a conspiracy there.
But don't you think, Scott, that for some teams it's an advantage to play a shorter season and for others it's a disadvantage?
No, there is a sense that some of the teams that were on the outside looking in a year ago and got
John
in on 48.
John sounds like Torts today. He sounds like Torts today.
Yeah.
Who's he going to bench?
So if you don't want to spend money on buyouts and you don't want to do this and you don't have, you know, the cupboard is bare on the horizon. I just found it interesting is the admission we didn't change with the times. We couldn't move our goalie. The 48-game season hamstrung us. And then to Doug's point, there's been some personnel decisions and draft decisions. That's all the coach's fault. We get that. So what is this team a coaching change away from being? What is it supposed to be?
Well, I think it's supposed to be the good Vancouver Canucks of the regular season with the capability of getting better once the playoffs start. And they just didn't, they played exactly the same way in the playoffs as they did in the regular season. And all of a sudden, San Jose is blocking shots and drawing penalties, and Joe Thornton gets better, and Logan Couture and Joe Pavelski got better, and did the Canucks. Who got better on the Canucks? Nobody. And I think that's with a different coach and a different, as Doug said, a little attitude tweak, the window of opportunity for the Canucks is getting shorter, and so they have to make the change now and hope that they've got two or three more years where they still will be an elite team and hopefully get better once the playoffs start.
And any sense, okay, besides the usual candidates, the suspects, and maybe that's what it is, it's going to be a veteran coach. Is that really the way you see it? And knowing the Aquilinis as well, I mean, who are the top guys now that you've had 24 hours to maybe suss it out a bit or think it through?
Well, I think it does have to be a veteran coach. I think it has to have immediate credibility. It's not Glenn Gullickson or Troy G. Ward or Dallas Eakin. It'll have to be. And I've heard Dave Tippett's name kicked around. And I know Dave's not happy with everything going on in Phoenix. And every year he has to battle not just keeping his team motivationally involved, but keeping the players concerned enough. And you look at they're probably going to lose their goalie. He doesn't want to put up with it anymore. Shane Doan's getting older. The players don't know whether to buy a house or rent an apartment month to month because they might be someplace else halfway through the year.
Yeah, I think Dave Tippett is the name. You know, you've got Dave Tippett, you got Lindy Ruff, and then you say, okay, where do we go there after that? You've got, you know, the names. I saw a list of names last night, and I got too deep on it. I got too deep on the list that came out from another network, and I thought, wow, somebody's trying to make some friends
favors,
here.
Favors.
But anyway, you know, Tippett would be, to me, Dave Tippett, is, if in fact he's available. And the other name is Joel Quenneville, if he happens to come available. If they happen to fall apart the rest of this series and they blow it, he would become another great name from a veteran perspective. And then, you know, I guess you talk about Dallas Eakins. I mean, Dallas Eakins is a good young coach. I don't know. Like, I could see Dallas Eakins as a nice fit in Phoenix, you know,
yeah.
In that or that type of situation where he's got some time. This is a pressure cooker of a job to go into for an inexperienced coach. That the only way you're successful is if you go deep in the playoffs or win the cup. And well, John said it. The window's closing.
You look at the list like you were talking about, and I've seen some lists, and the names like Craig Ramsey and Tony Granato and Jim Playfair and guys who have been head coaches
and good
and
people,
now are assistant coaches other places, are real good people. But yeah. I think the Canucks want that wow factor.
Well, we'll find out, put the Vancouver situation behind. Tonight, of course, you're back at it here on Sportsnet, unless Scott Morrison does a healthy scratch like the Rangers doing with Brad Richards. We don't know.
And I'll tell you one thing. I don't care who gets the coaching job. I don't care who they pick up this summer. I don't care what trades they make. John Garrett will still pick them to win the cup.
Well, that's it. And he'll pick Toronto to come dead last. So we know that. There's 28 teams in between. John, thanks as always, okay?
Okay, you're welcome. Talk to you later.
John Garrett joining us, of course, from Sportsnet. He'll be part of the coverage tonight. When we come back, Nathan MacKinnon, we've got the MasterCard Memorial Cup on Sportsnet, and they've got themselves right to the final game, the Halifax Mooseheads. We'll talk to one of the top three picks, maybe the top one overall in this year's NHL entry draft when we return next. Gord Stelick, Scott Morrison, Doug McLean. You're watching watching and listening to Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, and watching on Sportsnet 1.
Featherlite is the number one ladder used by the pros, and here's why. Featherlite knows that you depend on your ladder to be safe and to perform properly whether on the job or at home. So they constantly strive to improve the utility and safety of their ladders, not only to meet but exceed industry standards. Featherlite has been building trust into every ladder it makes for over 60 years. No wonder the pros recommend them. The pros know, and Canadian pros pick Featherlite ladders. Safer, tougher, Canadian since 1949.
Now more Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Third period of Hockey Central at noon. Gord Stellick, Scott Morrison, Doug McLean with you, of course, on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, and watching on Sportsnet 1. And, of course, on Sportsnet, we have the MasterCard Memorial Cup. And what a week it's been and continues to be, and all the action will be Sportsnet. The Halifax Mooseheads, they've got themselves all the way to the final. So they get to sit and decide who they'll get in that one-game playoff to win the Memorial Cup. Nathan MacKinnon, been on fire, leads the tournament in scoring with 8 points in three games. And, of course, one of the big names in the upcoming NHL entry draft. He joins us this afternoon. How you doing, Nathan?
I'm good, thank you.
And Doug, another East Coast guy, huh? You keep churning them out.
The East Coast of Canada has basically taken over the hockey world. I mean, you go Crosby, now you go, you know, Nathan MacKinnon. It's bizarre what's happened to hockey in
McLean
Canada.
In the middle, of course.
Well, McLean's an old guy.
Is it all the Doug McLean influence there, Nathan? Is that the result?
He doesn't know who I am.
No? Okay.
I know. Don't worry. I know.
Nathan, I got a chance to see you play in October early in the season. It might have been the first weekend of the Quebec League. You and Drouin come into Charlottetown, and I happened to be in PEI, and it was an impressive performance. And sitting there with a couple of scouts talking about the Halifax Mooseheads' chances, and they thought they would be one of the best teams in Canada. An amazing season ride. First time in franchise history. It must be pretty cool.
Yeah, it's exciting. The season has been mainly highs, but obviously there's some lows we had to overcome. There's always bumps in the road with every team, but thankfully enough and luckily enough, we've been really fortunate to have a great season and have a great group of guys, and we've meshed really well throughout the whole year. And it's pretty crazy. There's only one game left. These guys are like brothers to everybody, and it's exciting that we can win it all, and hopefully we can.
Well, talk to us about this week and the whole experience. It's a different kind of series where every game matters so much, and as you say, it comes down to one.
Yeah, it is. It's the Memorial Cup's a pretty weird tournament, actually. It's kind of, Saskatoon beat us, and they could have went to the finals yesterday, or we could have went to the finals. And we could have been in the tiebreaker, too, if we lost another game. So, every game is kind of like a game seven, and I think that's what makes it so exciting. The stakes are always so high, and every game means so much. So it's pretty cool that I got to take part in this along with everybody else, and like I said, hopefully we can win it.
I was in Halifax for the Prospects game, and obviously unfortunately for you, you ended up in Cherry and Kyprios' team, and that hurt you for a month or so, I noticed, after you lost your game a little bit. But anyway, it was impressive. But I gotta tell you, your coach Dominic was an impressive guy. Tell us about him. I got to spend two or three days with him, and I was very, very impressed with this young coach of the Halifax Mooseheads.
Yeah, Dom's a guy who's always seems like he's never gets too high, never gets too low. If we're on a winning streak, he never brings it up in the locker room. He's the kind of guy that keeps everybody focused, but from an individual perspective, he really pushes me to get better. He pushes Joe, pushes everybody to get better, and he's been a huge partner in development. And we owe lots of our success to him, and obviously most of our team's success to him. So he's been our leader all year, and it's nice to have him.
Since you're talking about your team, and a lot of people are caught up with the individuals. There's so many star players at this Memorial Cup, not just guys that are about to be drafted, but guys that have already been drafted by NHL teams. And if you had to describe your team style or imprint compared to the others, how would you describe your team?
Well, I think we're a blue-collar kind of team. Obviously, we have lots of firepower and skill, but we generate that from working hard and playing good on both sides of the puck. And, we have lots of depth, and guys like Brent Andrews, Ryan Falkham, Andrew Ryan, Steve McCullough, those type of guys really bring energy in their big bodies. So it's nice to have that. And like I said, we're a blue-collar kind of team, but also we can put the puck in the net.
You mentioned that obviously this is all about team right now, but I'm sure there isn't a day that goes by that the draft doesn't come up in conversation or question. How do you keep all of that in perspective at a time like this?
It's honestly, it's not as hard as you think. It's so exciting to be here, and all is on your mind is winning the Memorial Cup and being part of something special and sharing it with these guys in the locker room. And all that other stuff is going to come along with it. It's nice and it's human nature to think about the draft and other things like that. But at the same time, I'm so excited to be here, and I'm playing for the Mooseheads, and I couldn't have asked for anything better.
How bizarre is it that you watch Sidney, and I'm sure when you were a little kid, Sidney was sort of the superstar, and he was moving on just as you were really getting into it, but both come from Nova Scotia, from the metro area, Cole Harbour area. It's pretty bizarre that two of the best 18-year-old hockey players in the world, at the time they were 18, come out of Cole Harbour, Nova Scotia. That's pretty unique, Nathan.
Yeah, it is. And obviously, Sid's in his own class, and everybody knows that. But yeah, it is a little strange. I don't know how much of a coincidence it is, but.
And I could see it was PEI, but Cole Harbour, like seriously. Yeah.
Well, Doug mentioned about, you know, I don't know how old you would have been exactly, was Sidney being, you know, 17, 18, 19, and I'm wondering, who were you a fan of growing up? Like, what team and what kind of players were your guys now that you're getting set to be drafted by an NHL team?
Well, I'd be lying if Sid wasn't one of them. You know, he was my hockey idol growing up. I loved the Penguins when he got drafted there. Guys like Datsyuk and Toews, I really admired as well as I got a little older, and I really looked at their game and realized that the kind of two-way centerman I wanted to be, and guys like that I really looked up to, and it's kind of weird that one day I could be playing against them and competing to win.
I wrote a book a few years ago called By the Numbers, and it was the story behind why players wear a certain number. Can you tell us a story about why you wear number 22?
Yeah, I billeted a player when I was a little kid that played for the Mooseheads, and he wore number 22. I always looked up to him. His name is Frederick Cabana. He's just in Germany now, but I really looked up to him. He was kind of my hero, and I guess when I got traded to Halifax and started playing for them, I thought it was fitting that I wore 22 as well.
How do you pronounce that FRK name?
Firk.
You gotta be careful. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. You gotta be careful.
We're just saying, I've never seen a guy with three names, three letters in his name without a vowel. I mean, on the price right, it would be tougher.
And only would the Detroit Red Wings own him. I don't know what he's a third round pick or something. And Detroit happened to own this guy after I watched him score a hat trick. I'm thinking, who owns this guy? And all of a sudden it's Detroit. I'm thinking, oh my God, they got another one.
Yeah, I know. He's a special player. Murray, he's got a bomb of a shot. Yeah, it's pretty funny that he's a vowel.
Well, I always said yourself and Firk and everybody else, it's been a great week. And we'll look forward to, of course, the weekend. You'll be in the final game.
Nathan, congratulations on just an amazing junior career and in your hometown to be able to do it and lead them to Memorial Cup. And congratulations and all the best at the draft, bud, and look forward to watching you in the NHL.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys.
Okay, Nathan, and when you're drafted, how far down before Doug McLean is thanked?
I motivated after he got his ass kicked in the prospects game.
Well,
I motivated him.
That's it. Well, there you go. We'll look forward to that.
He motivated me. I owe all to him.
This could be great.
Nate.
That's
See you,
good.
Nathan.
You should use that for your conference. When's your conference? August 26th, 28th. Nathan McKinnon says Doug McLean.
July, by the way, at Hockey Atlantic Coaches Clinic. Did I say August? It's July 26th to 28th. So check that out.
So now Gary
Hockey Atlantic Coaches Clinic.com.
So Bruce Garriott's planned travel and the party, everything is July 26th.
He bought the tickets and everything.
Gosh.
All messed up.
Isn't
it? Is Firk an assistant captain?
I don't know.
Could be his vowel.
Okay, exactly. There you go.
No, interesting. Yeah. Nathan McKinnon was drafted by who in the Quebec League? Was it Rouen or Val d'Or or somebody? And it was a monumental trade that the Halifax Mooseheads pulled off to bring him back. And, sometimes those things work out, but this one was one that, you know, really turned out to be pretty amazing.
Now, he's one of those he said he wouldn't go?
Well, I don't know. I don't think that was the case. I think it was handled. I think he was drafted knowing that that would.
Bay Como, by the way.
Bay Como.
Brian
Sorry,
Maloney's
apologies
place.
To Bay Como. Knowing that that would be a deal that would happen right after the draft.
Well, and of course, all the action, of course, right here, the MasterCard Memorial Cup on Sportsnet. Tonight, a couple games going on. We haven't touched on the...
Am I wrong on this? Did they not beat Bay Como out in the finals of the Quebec League this year to win the Quebec League championship?
Looking
interesting.
The producer's nodding. I didn't know off the... There you go. It is. And like you said, it's a great story. To come from, you're right, from a small place like that, two of the best in the world.
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing.
And not only two of the best players in the world, but I don't know Nathan other than to say hello to him. I just hear he's just is just a quality kid. And is there any better guy than Sidney Crosby for an ambassador? And you've got another guy like this coming down the pipe. The league is lucky to have them.
Well, he was very keen to come on. He said to pick a week that Nick Kyprios wasn't on the show, so I'm glad we made it work out for him. We just got about 2 minutes left, so let's talk about the West Coast game tonight. Because we know, of course, big story. Brad Richards is going to be a healthy scratch for the New York Rangers Boston Bruin game. I think we all feel, or pretty well, everyone feels Boston's going to win that one. But I don't mean to speak for you, but Kings Sharks, Scott.
Well, I mean, if not for that 5-on-3 and whatever game it was now, they could be up 3-1 in the series. So, yeah, every game. So, I mean, that one's been a really, really entertaining series. It's been crash and bang, great goaltending at both ends. It's been fun to watch a guy, I think Joe Thornton, even though we've talked about how it's become Couture's team, it's been fun to watch Joe Thornton play some great hockey. 17 goals for, he's been on the ice for, 1 against. The Sharks tweeted that out yesterday. Just a phenomenal playoff for him. So it's going to be fascinating to see how this one plays out. Best of three.
Exciting games to watch, yeah. You know, and it's a pick 'em. I mean, you'd say, okay, L.A. is going to win tonight because it's in L.A. No other reason. I mean, they're so evenly matched. And, you know, Detroit, Chicago, I mean, how do you pick that one? And, you know, Boston, can the Rangers win a game? Lundqvist, it wouldn't surprise me Lundqvist could win them a game and extend the series. That wouldn't surprise me, but the Bruins are rolling. They're rolling. I'm watching Pittsburgh last night. I'm thinking, can Pittsburgh play with this Bruins team if that's the next round? With that defense and Vokoun, I don't know. It's, you know, you never want to underestimate Sydney, but wow, the Bruins are rolling right now.
So we got three games. Of course, we'll have it all covered tonight on Sportsnet. Doug, you're all set. The apartment's clean for Jill's arrival.
Spotless.
Okay, what a big night in the McLean household. Scott, you're on tonight. We'll catch
big,
you tomorrow.
Big night in the 550-square-foot condo.
There you go. Yeah, I'll be somewhere.
Okay, well, that's good. Scott will be somewhere, and we'll be back somewhere. We'll be back tomorrow. You know where we'll be? Hockey Central at noon. Of course, don't forget, as Nathan MacKinnon joined us earlier, the MasterCard Memorial Cup action continues. Thanks also to John Garrett joining us earlier to talk about the firing of Alain Vigneault and all that's gone on and needs to go on with the state of the Vancouver Canucks. You've been listening to Hockey Central at noon. Gord Stellick, Scott Morrison, Doug McLean on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 960 Calgary, and watching on Sportsnet 1.